So, do you want to hear our intro music? Because it's uplifting, like us. And it's classic, like us.
But it's not classy, like us. Nope. I mean, we're not classy.
Okay, so this is our intro. We are Nate and Tina.
Did you start already?
And it's going to be a podcast. Oh, God. Yep. So this is going to be a short episode, I think. We've already done our spoiler cast for Jurassic World. And, you know, we haven't really done a whole lot since our last podcast. So we're going to cover some things that we've already talked a little bit about. But there's some things that happened. So what did you want to talk about first?
So the first thing I want to talk about was, so I got a little bit of feedback that my voice doesn't sound normal.
Wait, what? So this isn't on the list.
I don't need to go off the list.
You're going off script?
I can go off script. We don't have to have everything typed out. But I've been told that, okay, so maybe I was using my telephone voice early on. And so I'll try to have a more natural voice.
I think you just sound sweet.
Yeah. I guess those who know me, who've known me for a long time, think I'm being fake. So I do that at work sometimes. I don't realize it. Like, yeah. If I'm doing training and I start talking like this, you know. And then if it's like a serious subject, then I'm like, my voice is lower. Mm. And if it's really something that is contentious, then it'll be really low.
I think that's normal. I think most people do that.
Yeah, so I'll just try to talk normal.
Okay, sounds good. So what
so is with my normal
your
voice.
First normal voice topic?
So with my normal voice, I realized that I did not actually mention the name of the new-ish gym in our area. So I thought I would give a little plug in case folks wanted to go to their site or go to their Facebook.
This
page.
Is the place where you are doing your TRX.
TRX, yeah. So they're called Rain City Fitness, and that's REIGN, Rain City Fitness. They are at the corner of Bell Red Road and 140th Avenue Northeast in Bellevue in the Overlake area. Mm. And they're in the former 24 Hour Fitness building. And they have, right now they have CrossFit classes, TRX classes, and Zumba, and they just had opened up a space for a kickboxing studio. I think it is separately run, but there have been a lot of people in there, and it looks pretty fun. So, yeah, so I just wanted to give some info on that.
Okay. That's not the only local thing that you've been doing, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not sure how regularly I'll be doing this because I tend to buy sweets as well as vegetables. But I hit both of our farmers markets in this area last week. So on Wednesdays is the Kirkland Waterfront Farmers Market. They call it the Kirkland Market. And it's nice just to be on the waterfront and walk around, and you know, then you can go from there to other shops and stuff. So it's your typical farmers market. I would say it's a little maybe smaller than the Seattle ones, maybe more akin to the Wallingford one, but also smaller than that probably. But you know, you've got your flower vendors, your fruits and vegetables, arts and crafts, and sweets.
Do they have, you said it's not corn season, right?
I actually didn't mention corn season.
Well, before the podcast, because I asked you if there was corn.
No.
For me, farmers markets are all about getting corn and getting,
I think corn is
taffy.
Are you talking about the fair?
No, the farmers markets have them.
Well, I don't know when corn season is, but I'm pretty sure it's like late summer.
It is, yeah.
Early fall.
That's when they have the mazes. So it's after the fall. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's pretty early right now. Just had cherry season. I bought some strawberry Rainier cherries, which I guess are kind of new. So instead of deep red like Bing or the yellow and pink like Rainier, they're in a very nice color of reddish pink. Mm. And they're kind of mild like Rainiers. And then the other one is Friday is Juanita Farmers Market. And they actually had live music there. And they were doing covers of some classic rock. And so that was pretty cool. Yeah. Lots of people were kind of picnicking out there. And then that's near or right on the water over there, too. So
That's kind of nice for us. That's like they're both about 10 minutes away, right? 10-minute walk?
No, about 20 minutes.
20-minute walk. Oh, yeah. I should have known that. I walked to the downtown today, and I was like, oh, I'll get there in 15 minutes, and I watched the bus drive by. Got there 20 minutes later.
It's like 22 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is a nice walk, but if it's, like, hot, I do. Well, especially for downtown Kirkland, I will drive the couple minutes to park and then park somewhere around there because I usually do end up walking around downtown Kirkland, too. So I'm good at doing my classes, but I'm not so great at walking.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, Market Street, which is the closest major road to where we live, is pretty noisy when you're walking on it.
Yeah. Well, I walk up first because it's pretty nice.
Okay.
So, yeah. That's it for local. Local news. Tina's local.
The local report. How's the weather out there, Tina?
Oh, I don't know. I work indoors. But according to the Kirkland Fire Department reader board, there's an algae problem in the...
If you live in the Kirkland Juanita area, keep an eye out.
Stay out of the water.
Yeah. Hold your purses tight in case the algae blooms near you. Tries to steal your wallet.
I've mentioned it a couple times, and I wouldn't really want to get in the water, like, right in the right by the shore, because it is, like, an inlet, kind of.
Yeah, it's where all the stuff collects.
Like, all around Kirkland. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go out somehow, out a little bit more, and then jump in the water.
I think downtown Kirkland might be all right. I mean, that whole park has got kind of, like...
No, because there's boats everywhere.
That's fine.
No. Let's let the ducks swim there. I'm not going to get in that water.
All right. And that's it for the local. Let's go to Nathan with entertainment. So I finished another book since we last recorded. If you will remember, we talked about Neal Stephenson and Seven Eves. I think I had finished the book when I did the first recording, but since then, I actually went to a Q&A with Neal Stephenson at the Linwood Barnes & Noble, which is where I do my sci-fi book club. And it was really interesting. I mean, he just kind of talked about the book, and I feel kind of bad. Like, I read this one thing a while back on Facebook. It was an article that said, like, the four kind of questions that people ask, and they're like... The guy who is not really asking a question, he just wants to sound smart in front of the author. And the guy who's not really stating a question at all, but just kind of like complaining about something. And there was a little bit of that at this Q&A. Mm-hmm. But one thing that was interesting is that Seven Eves is this kind of futuristic book about new technologies and stuff. And so this guy was asking, like, well, what do you think about new technology in games? And I think he asked specifically about Clang, which was a successful Kickstarter that Neal Stephenson was kind of the public face of that actually failed despite getting the money. And I could tell he felt uncomfortable talking about it, but he owned it. He said, like, you know, we all put our best foot forward. We all sent out the backer rewards and fulfilled those requirements, but... they weren't able to find a publisher for the game, so the game never came out. But he went on to say that that was sort of a blessing in disguise because of recent technological advancements. Things like first-person shooters would feel archaic when you play them on current technology, like a flat screen. And this was I took this as a really subtle nod that Magic Leap, which is the new product that he's aligned with, will be coming out in the next 3 to 5 years. And I really hope that that's the case, because Magic Leap has been very secretive, but it has secured billions in funding from major investors. And everybody who has tried it says that it's amazing technology.
Is that the company name, or is that the product name?
Magic Leap is the name of the company, I believe. But what it is...
just makes you think of frogs. VR frogs.
Magic Leap. It makes me think of Magic Eye, like a little 8-ball. But what it is like, if you've seen the HoloLens...
Have you seen any demonstrations of that? I saw a little bit of that demo with the Minecraft.
Okay, so it's like augmented reality, where if we're looking at a table, the lens has like a projected screen in front of your face, and it'll make it look as if there's like a 3D troll or something sitting on the desk or a house. What Magic Leap does is it takes that same concept, but instead of projecting it onto a screen that's in front of your eye, it actually projects it into your eye.
What?
Yeah. It shoots like little lasers into your eye. And it's...
I am never, ever going to use that. I don't want anything shooting into my eye.
But apparently it makes it look just like the thing is right there, in your hand.
I don't need things in my hands.
And they've somehow worked it so that even though you're shooting light into the eye, it can reproduce black, like the appearance of black. So you have actual objects in your hands. And it's kind of amazing. There's no actual demos out there, but there is a video that is supposed to give you a sense of what it's like. So if you search YouTube for Magic Leap video, you'll see what I'm talking about. And if that video is even, 50% of what the product is like, it's going to be amazing.
No, that's terrible. That's how somebody is going to take over the future, because they're going to start shooting like suggestions into your eyeballs.
It's no different. That's like... subliminal messages on TV. It's
and then
the same
people
idea.
And people are going to make like illicit underground videos, and it'll be like
Strange Days.
It'll be like,
do you remember that movie?
No, which one?
With
that?
Angela Bassett and God, what's the main character's name? It was a James Cameron film.
Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah, it was the end of the millennium, and they had these little like squid things they put on their heads that would make you relive moments.
Yeah, and what's her name? Was the singer?
Yeah. What is her name? She was in Natural Born Killers.
Yeah, I can't think. I can see her in
Facebook.
Starts
with a J, maybe?
But in any case.
Moore.
Huh?
Juliet Moore.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Yeah.
But any case.
Yeah, so anyways,
no.
Ready Player One. I really enjoyed this book. And, of course, it, like, hit home. It pushes all my buttons. Do you know anything about this book?
I still can't get over what you just said.
What?
Now I'm going to be very vigilant. If I see it in our house, I'm going to kick it out.
Well, you won't know, because, it'll be projecting the image of our house, but you'll actually be locked up in a room, like, with chains and IVs.
That is not funny.
Because it's never going to happen.
That's right, because it's never going to be in our house.
Because it's not going to be in our house. Oh, we'll see.
You have to go to someone else's house to play.
When the revolution comes, you won't know.
You have to go to someone else's to play. I'll know. I'll be standing outside.
The revolution will not be virtual reality televised.
I'll be standing outside while everyone is inside.
Like stumbling around.
Not sitting on their couches, like looking at Minecraft figures sitting on their hands.
We're gonna get an Oculus Rift at some point.
We are?
Well, I would really like to. Maybe like next year, because it comes out. It's released to the consumers, I think, in February of 2016.
Really?
Yeah, it's getting close.
What I'm looking forward to is seeing the products that will be created by the VRcade.
Oh, yeah, but they're not using Oculus. They're using Gear VR.
Their own, right?
No, I think they've switched to Gear VR. Did you put on the demo, the zombie demo?
Yeah, you were in the restroom.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And then I was like, take it off.
So imagine the zombie demo, but instead of the zombies appearing in this like fake world, they like appear behind our couch and they appear like in the kitchen and you have to like zap them.
This is not gonna happen.
That's Magic Leap.
Duh. It's definitely not gonna happen. This thing is not coming into our house. What's magic is that it's gonna bring in things from the imaginary world into the real world for real.
There's no, it's not going
to
do that.
The magic part. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Okay. It's a ways off. Okay, so Ready Player One is a really good book. It has all these, like, it's about a virtual world called the Oasis.
In a world.
It is. It totally is. Like, it's the year 2050, and everybody is playing this virtual reality world thing where they put on the glasses, and it's like World of Warcraft, kind of, but more. But everybody in the entire world plays it. And so, like, the real world has been going to hell in a handbasket because everybody's playing this game. And then the creator of the game, who was born in the 70s, dies, and leaves his fortune to the first person who can find the Easter egg in the game. And it's all about these, like, 80s references. So, like, you have to know Joust and all these old video games and Dungeons and Dragons and Rush. And, like, yeah, it's really cool, and it's clearly a nostalgia trip. But the book does a really good job, or the author does a really good job of incorporating things without it being too gratuitous, even though it is obviously
what's the
gratuitous.
Author's name again?
Ernest Cline. His new book, Armada, is also out, but I'm putting that on hold because I just found out today that there's a book coming out next week called We Don't Need Roads, and it's it's a book detailing the stories behind the making of the Back to the Future trilogy.
Huh.
And it's really, I mean, there was an article that was promoting it. It was like on IO9 called The 11 Things You Didn't Know About the Making of Back to the Future.
Just the first movie?
It's about all three.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's about all three. So it's really cool. I'm looking forward to reading that and getting the inside scoop because I love Back to the Future.
Are you actually going to get a physical copy, or is it an audiobook?
I'll probably just get the audiobook.
So isn't Ready Player One option to be a movie, or whatever you call it?
It is. Yeah, it is. It's been optioned, and I hear it's being, like, it's in pre-production, maybe. It's further along than most things that get optioned, because, you know, they option everything these days and nothing happens.
Is that the one that what's-his-face is gonna be the main character?
Who?
I can't think of his name.
The guy who played Rocket Raccoon?
No.
Not Bradley Cooper.
No. The guy the guy with the funny laugh.
Oh, God. The knocked up guy?
Yeah.
What's his name? Oh, my God.
I don't know. It's totally
escaping. He's totally fallen out of the public consciousness.
No, I don't think so.
And by public consciousness, I mean you and me.
Isn't that a private consciousness? Yeah. That's local. The local consciousness. I thought he was attached
Seth
to
Seth Green. No. Seth.
Now I'm thinking
Seth. Oh, my God. Anybody who's listening to this is screaming at us right now.
No, they're not. This doesn't happen very often.
Yep. Somebody's going to be on the bus, and they're going to be going, Seth Rogen! I don't know. No, you're thinking of Game Over.
Oh.
That's the story, the untold story of the battle between Nintendo and Sega in the 90s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Bradley Cooper is championing a television miniseries based on the books Hyperion and End of Hyperion.
Is that sci-fi?
It's sci-fi. Oh. They're really good. It's described as the Canterbury Tales of sci-fi.
A TV series?
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
There is a lot going on.
Oh, my gosh.
No, you're fine.
I killed that
fan. Yeah, so Ready Player One, I'm looking forward to that Back to the Future book. Ready Player One's great. I'm looking forward to the Back to the Future book. And for my sci-fi book club, I'm going to be reading the first book in the Dresden Files series, which is this, like, film noir kind of detective series with magic, I guess. I don't know.
More magic.
Yep. I was told earlier that this book series he was a teacher. And it started as an example of how not to write a book.
What?
And then he was like, oh, actually, this is a pretty good story. And then finished it. So I've been told that the later books are...
Even my crappiest work is really good. I'm going to publish this.
He's not wrong, because it's a big series. But yeah, that'll be probably my next book report. for it's going to be a podcast, will be that. Actually, no, it'll be the Back to the Future book. Anyways, that's it for books.
I'm going to read that too, but I don't have an Audible account anymore.
Do you still have your credits?
I don't know. Hmm. But can you get audiobooks without having Audible? I mean, isn't that...
Yeah, you can totally...
The one that's hooked up to Amazon?
It's hooked up to Amazon, but even if it wasn't, you could not have the subscription and just pay for the books.
Oh.
And then download them to the app and stuff. But if you have the subscription, then you get a 30% discount.
Maybe after you finish, I'll steal your phone and listen to it.
Yeah, you could.
That's not going to happen. Hey. It's attached to you.
Yep. What's next on our agenda here? We're at 20 minutes.
The big topic at hand is...
E3. So this is a big deal for me because I work at Microsoft in an area related to E3. So it's been very busy at work for me, but I did manage to catch all the major press conferences. Did you watch them all?
You know, last year I watched almost all of them. This year I caught a big chunk. So we watched part of the Nintendo Championship.
Yeah, which was awesome.
Yeah, that was really fun. And then I caught a chunk of Xbox, but then it just got so busy at work that everything fell off my radar. And then I didn't realize... Well, I kind of forgot you could watch stuff later, you know?
Oh, like, yeah.
Watch it, so maybe I'll do that.
Okay.
Or just look... Because I do like to see what's come out and what the news and stuff. But, like, for this year, I just have been completely out of it.
Yeah. So, if you're interested in video games, there's about a... probably three quarters of all the podcasts out there talk about it, so I'm not going to rehash all this stuff.
And then the articles, and then everything else.
Yeah, so, but I did want to throw out a couple highlights, one of which you already mentioned, that was the Nintendo World Championships.
Yeah, that was fun.
I didn't expect them to be as cool as they were, and they were just really, really fun to watch.
Can I say that my Nintendo... history is having my video game history is having an Atari, playing games in arcades, having a NES, and then I bought a PS2. So like I have nothing in between.
You missed a big chunk.
And then
a couple generations.
I mean, everybody loves Super Nintendo. I don't have any point of reference. Yeah. So like some of the games that they played, I was just like, what? And then they had, I heard Balloon Fight and I ran out to the living room and I was like,
Yep, Balloon Fight was there. For me, the big awesome thing was Mario Maker, which was the final challenge.
And you left the house right before they started. And I texted you, I was like, is this thing new? Mario Maker? You're like, what?
Yep. I raced to work, and instead of working, I watched... Actually, I just had it on in the background, but it was really...
It was Sunday, too.
It was really cool. Mario Maker looks like a lot of fun. It was really fun to watch the guys kind of puzzle out, and they did come up with some really devious...
I was a little surprised at how excited I was, because... Mm-hmm. The particular one, the first person just couldn't get it. But I don't think anybody looking at it would be able to get it. They're like, oh, what is it? And then the other person just stumbled on the right rhythm, and then bam, 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 they got to the end. And so that was pretty fun.
It was cool. I liked it.
So we don't have a Wii U.
No, but we might have to get
one. We might have to get one now.
Yep. So Mario Maker was really cool. For Microsoft, I've got two things. I've got two things from Microsoft and two things from Sony. So, the big thing for Microsoft was backwards compatibility, which is awesome. That's a really cool, like, and the nice thing about backwards compatibility is that they're making it so that all you have to do is put the disc in the console, and then it will download the backwards compatible version of it. So you'll have a digital copy, and that's all you have to do. Then you've got it.
Does that mean that there's a big team digitizing discs?
Well, I mean, all the content is on a hard drive anyways, somewhere.
Oh, okay.
So they just need to find that. Then what they're going to do is they'll find a version, they'll make it, they'll get rid of any incompatibility issues or, like, tweak it or whatever, and then that's the version that will be released. And there's licensing things too. They have to get you know, if you have modern,
especially if it's
if you have Call of Duty, then they have to get Activision to approve the ability for backwards compatibility.
So they must be in progress for a bunch of games, right?
Yeah, in fact,
it's got to be
the day that they announced the backwards compatibility. They opened it up to preview members. So if you're part of the preview program, then that's when you get early access to builds, and maybe your Xbox is a little more unstable, but you get to try out new features first. So there are people that are doing backwards compatibility right now.
Huh.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, that's
that's a
huge
thing.
Well, I've still got the Mass Effect games.
Yeah.
It's not as big a deal for us because our 360 is still hooked up, yeah. But it's it's a neat thing. It's especially cool for the XBLA games, the Xbox Live Arcade, the indie games.
Oh, yeah. We can get all the Pac-Man games onto.
Yeah, yeah. So we could, well, I mean, if they're backwards compatible.
Yeah.
So they're, and Microsoft's working on all, you know, what is and isn't going to be.
Points carry over? Or did that already happen?
Score?
Well, I guess that's all attached to your account.
As far as I know, the cloud save stuff will carry over because they're basically running an emulated Xbox 360 inside the Xbox One, so it's just gonna it's probably just going to think it's its own 360 and it'll just grab all your saves and stuff.
So this is a big deal, but is it already did that function already exist for Wii U's and PS4's?
No. The function, so when both the PS4 and the Xbox One came out, Sony and Microsoft both said, it's impossible, we can't do it. Mm-hmm. And it totally, I mean, I'm amazed that it did happen, because you're talking about running a very powerful console emulated on another more powerful console, but the complexity level is just through the stratosphere. So it's surprising that Microsoft was able to do it. I don't think anybody expected it. I mean, it was kind of a megaton.
Based on user feedback, Microsoft is trying to meet the customer's requests and
they
needs.
They are. They're hearing the customer and responding.
Based on feedback.
Yeah, yeah. So they... shoot, I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. The other dig that they took at Sony was that, you know, this whole thing is free for users. All you have to do is have your disc. Whereas Sony, they've got their streaming service and they're using that, but you have to pay. You have to basically rebuy the games or pay for time to play the games.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean pay for time to play the games?
It's like Netflix, except that instead of streaming a movie, you stream the game and then you control it and then it sends your controls back to the service and then the server sends back.
When you say time, what do you mean?
Well,
it's a limited amount of time.
It's like a rental. So you rent a game for a week.
Your own old games.
Well, I mean, you can rent whatever games are on the service, but if you already own it,
huh?
Yeah.
Go Microsoft.
So yeah, that was the big thing. The other cool thing I saw at the Microsoft press conference, or the thing that I was really excited about, was this game called ReCore. It just had a really nice-looking aesthetic. It was a girl and her robot dog kind of walking through a desert.
Oh, I saw some comments that people were like... like, in a time of great cynicism and all this game stuff, like, this is so nice. This is so nice and refreshing.
It was cool-looking, and the mechanics, some of the mechanics they hinted at with the trailer looked really interesting, so I'm looking forward to that. And then, just really quickly, since we've been on this for a long time now, is the Sony conference. I am excited about the Final Fantasy VII Remake announcement. They kind of had to after the screw-up last year, where they announced that Final Fantasy VII was coming out, but it was just a port of the PC version.
Mm.
So, that was, like, everybody was like, Final Fantasy's... Oh. So, they kind of had to do it. And I feel like, I almost feel like maybe it was a response to the... because Microsoft had an amazing press conference. They did really well, and everybody was, like, super on board. And Sony's press conference occurs after Microsoft. So I'm almost wondering if, like, maybe they threw it in there because they felt like they had to have their own megaton. Because now that the press conferences are over, we're kind of learning, like, oh, all they really did was announce the game. You know, they don't have any gameplay. They're not... it's almost as if they weren't even really working on it.
That's kind of a... that doesn't seem like a prudent move just based on a a reactionary move. It seems it's, like a company wouldn't just...
Well, no, I'm sure they were working on it. Don't get me wrong, but I think maybe they announced it a lot sooner than they might have otherwise. Sony's been pretty savvy about that sort of thing. At the original announcement, E3 a couple of years ago, when Xbox announced like all the DRM stuff and people didn't react very well to that, Sony was really good about capitalizing on that, and they tailored their press conference to kind of...
So Sony always goes second?
Yeah, yep, they always go second. Huh. Yeah, so it's not surprising. It would not be surprising to me if we found that out later on.
So Final Fantasy VII, since I've never played any Final Fantasy games. So does that mean it's going to be reskinned, redone, and everything to be beautiful in HD?
Yeah, the original one that was announced last year is a port of the PC version, which is the exact same assets, the same graphics and stuff, but the resolution is higher up.
How old is...
It came out in 1996.
Is that the one where they first had the...
Original PlayStation.
Chocobo?
No, that wasn't the first one to have chocobos, but it was the first one that was in 3D. So it went from Super Nintendo to PlayStation, and the original PlayStation one was 3D.
Jeff, if you're listening, confirm with me later if this is the one that you played. Because I remember he was like, come in here, come in here. I was standing outside of the deck or something. He's like, come here, check it out. And they were like, Chocobo Races.
Oh, that's probably this one, yeah.
And we never owned a Super Nintendo, so I'm pretty sure it was
PlayStation. Yeah, I'm sure it is. So Final Fantasy VII is the first one. The other one that I'm excited about is Last Guardian, just because I love Ico, and Shadow of Colossus was really good.
So... On that one, was it a long time coming to confirm that it was going to happen? Is that what the deal was?
They first announced it in 2009.
Yeah, because I remember
that. So 6 years ago. And it was very troubled. It was originally announced for PlayStation 3. Oh. And it just, like, there was the occasional screenshot, and then Sony just kind of stopped talking about it. And then, like, once a year, they would pop up and say, yeah, we're still working on that. Huh. And then the guy who... The creative director, like, left Sony. Oh. And so everybody just assumed that it was
done
and over, yeah. So they brought it out. Hmm. Yeah, that was cool. All right, that's my E3 recap.
Hey, you know, that's the big news of the week.
It is, yeah.
Or...
It's ongoing as of this podcast. There's still one more day.
I was like, what day of the week is it? Oh, my God. All right.
All right, so what's next?
Your,
Oh, yeah, that's right. So I mentioned I do work at Xbox, and this last week I joined the Xbox Ambassador Twitch stream as a special guest, and I did a speed run of Ori and the Blind Forest. Now, I am not a professional speedrunner. The world record for completing Ori and the Blind Forest, which is normally like an 8 to 10 hour game, is something like 38 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. I did it in under 2 hours.
That's really good.
It is good. I'm proud of it.
20%
of the standard.
Of the total. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely proud of it, but I'm by no means an actual speedrunner. But what I did get to do was show all the people on the Twitch stream kind of the tricks that speedrunners use in that game to speed up their times. You know, there are little tricks that you can do to move faster. There's tricks that you can do to skip, like, certain sections or turn off, like, certain traps or skip cutscenes. And then towards the end of the game, there is a way to skip an entire third of the game. And you just never see that those sections. And because of it, you don't get certain powers. Your character doesn't. And then you have to make do without those powers. But it was really fun. I liked doing it. And I think that the people who watched enjoyed, too. So it's out there on Twitch if you want to find it.
How? Tell people how to find it.
I don't know how you would find it. Probably a search for Xbox Ambassador Ori, maybe. Mm. O-R-I.
I feel like Twitch isn't...
We can put it in the show notes.
The easiest thing to search.
It's hard right now for some reason. Normally there's a search box right on the front page, but because of the E3...
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. There's just so much going on.
Yeah.
In there right now.
But yeah, Twitch is definitely the best way to experience E3. I tried to make it work to go down to E3 this year, but work didn't, you know, just work and timing was bad. And now that I've been able to just sit and watch all these streams while I'm playing games or doing work, I totally appreciate being here because
yeah,
it's a lot cheaper and it's a lot easier to get a good view of what's going on.
Yeah, you have a lot going on here.
Mm-hmm. All right. Last up, we're going to go a little bit into spoiler territory, but just for a few minutes. So if you're not caught up on...
Our public service announcement is not a spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
Rick and Morty comes back Sunday, July 26th at the late, late hour of 11:30 p.m.
Well, late for old people like us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But
early for DVRs. Woo, DVRs.
Rick and Morty. Yay.
Yay. I haven't watched The Simpsons for a very long time, but I felt like the best thing I'd seen lately was the Rick and Morty intro.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. And now they're in Dota.
Oh, geez.
Dota 2. Yeah. I really can't wait for this next season. The first season was so good.
I know we have to rewatch. We should rewatch it next month.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's on like Xfinity On Demand or something. So I think we can watch it. Or Adult Swim.
I'm sure you have all of them on the DVR, too.
I don't think we do. I think we've got maybe like four.
But they're going to do marathons.
Hopefully. Yep. All right. Any other PSAs? I guess technically that Back to the Future book is a PSA. That's coming next Tuesday, I believe. Here's a PSA. my question block video game pub quiz is going to be on June 30th this month. It's always on the last Tuesday of every month, and this month it's the last day of the month, June 30th. And it's 7 p.m. at the Wild Rover in downtown Kirkland.
So leave work early, or whatever you might be doing, mm-hmm. and come out to downtown Kirkland.
Drop everything and run. Don't walk.
Walk around the waterfront, get some dinner and some snacks, or just enjoy the day, and then go inside and play trivia.
All right. Or just get there at 7.
Yeah.
Play trivia. Okay, I think that's it. So now we can go into spoiler territory.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really too much.
It's not really, but if you're not caught up on Game of Thrones or Silicon Valley, then just be aware we might blurt.